Hello and welcome to Isolation and Me. I'm Blanche Anderson, voiceover actor and filmmaker. This is a podcast which explores personal experiences during the COVID-19 outbreak. In this episode, I revisit some previous interviewees to see how they're getting on further into lockdown. So before I crack on, if you'd prefer to hear their original story, pause now and go back to episodes 1-7. For those of you ready for an update, here we go. Hello, Matty.
Hello, Blanche.
I feel like that was a dramatic pause. Was that on purpose?
No, it's probably just a sign of my cognition today. Very slow.
Oh, gosh. Get yourselves ready, listeners. Have you had a tough week?
I don't know, actually. I think it's probably been a bit more dramatic. It's quite strange. It's only my first day at work this week. I mean, you know, I'm about 6 hours in and I feel like I've worked 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Lots of conversations. Yeah, Blanche, I'm overwhelmed. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to speak to you.
Well, this is fantastic.
I've missed you so much.
I thought so. It's been a quite fast 3 months, actually, since we last spoke.
Yeah.
Back in April. So I'm going to remind you of what you said back in April to me when I said to you your prediction of how long this was going to last. And you said, I think things will start to lift. Things will start to lift in 6 weeks. And to be honest, your prediction wasn't that far off, actually. So what are you thinking of said lifts and the regulations and stuff? And do you think everything's been done in the appropriate order and timing-wise? Over to you.
Wow. So 6 weeks. Wow, that's... I didn't realise I'd be that close. I don't know, actually. I think what's happened is that it's going to work in a reverse now, isn't it? So, you know, the government want to open everything up, which could potentially be seen as a bit too quick. But then the problem that they can't really overcome is the kind of quite understandable anxiety and fear, really. Like, you know, Saturday was Super Saturday. It was going to be chaos. People were going to be naked, rolling in the street, you know, all that stuff. And then it didn't actually quite happen, did it, really?
Not in Liverpool. I thought, if anywhere, Liverpool would be right about all the rolling nakedness.
No, not really. No nakedness. A friend of mine works on the docks and he said he served 2 drinks over 2 shifts.
Wow.
Yeah, so quite surprising, really, in that respect.
Genuinely surprised. Mm. Genuinely surprised because... I know Soho was absolutely packed.
Yeah, but was everybody well behaved, though?
I don't know. I'm not sure, to be honest. Well, I didn't go myself. I thought I'd steer clear.
Well, this is it.
But yeah, what about restaurants? Have you been to a restaurant yet?
No, we did the opposite thing this weekend. I went and lived in a shepherd's hut for the weekend in a field in Herefordshire.
Nice. So, why?
It was Tamsin's birthday. My fiance's birthday.
Your fiance's birthday.
Yeah.
This is all things that I know already, guys, because I've actually just found out that he's got a fiance, didn't realise that, and knew that it was the birthday as well, because you kind of kept dropping into conversation about all the champagne you've got.
Champagne socialism. That's me.
That's you. So there seems to be a little bit of controversy amongst my friends anyway about the things opening up, because I know that some people think it's a little bit too fast, and I know that obviously Scotland's kind of doing their own timetable and stuff. So I mean, are you quite understanding with how things are going, or, well, likewise, do you think it's too quick?
I don't know. I think the problem is at present is that you won't see the ramifications for a few weeks, will you? So and then making the kind of causal link between, was it because we opened the pubs and the restaurants on Saturday and all the rest of it, or is it for some other reason? I think the big thing has kind of been proved by Leicester. It's actually like major industries which are causing like the spreads. So like people, like mass groups of people returning to factory work and stuff like that, really.
Right.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah. It's going to be quite interesting. I see that, you know, from today, the Chancellor's just announced his budget, hasn't he? He wants to get everybody out, eating in the restaurants, all that stuff. I think he's cut VAT by 15%.
Really? I didn't know that, because last I heard that they wanted to not cut it. They've obviously decided differently.
Yeah, then. Yeah. No, it's quite a robust package. So, yeah, no, it'll be... I don't know, you know. I think the big test are when you hit September, isn't it? And that's when schools, universities, everybody will be shifting back to some... when it'll be kind of mass return. Because, you know, generally places of work are quite quiet over the summer anyway.
They are, exactly. People going away. And obviously with the new quarantine regulations and stuff, i.e. we don't have to do it for some countries.
Yes.
So, oh yeah, I wanted to actually ask you about, obviously you work at Lipa, and I wanted to ask about like term times and things like that. So will they be doing, I think last time we spoke, you said that you thought it would be online in September. So what's the plan for you there?
Well, the plan at present is that we open on the 21st of September as normal.
Oh my, quite solid. And is that like TBC or is that come rain or shine?
I think it's it's quite hard to talk about this conversation just because one person is saying one thing and another person is saying another thing. And then the macro is, you know, back to, you know, face-to-face teaching's the best thing that we do. Let's get back to that as soon as possible. And then someone saying, well, we're actually going to do a blended learning, so online and face-to-face, really. So
I'm making the classes even smaller, probably.
Yeah. And, you know, having to get your tape measure out in the rooms and how many people can fit in there and stuff like that. What can go online, what can't go online. But then, you know, they're talking that Liverpool's going to have another lockdown, probably, like a local lockdown.
Yeah, I'm on the warning list as well.
Yeah.
My borough in London. That'll be rubbish. Yeah. Seems all the really fun areas.
I know, all the people who want to go out and socialise, you know.
Yeah. I went to my first restaurant yesterday, actually. I'm going to steer clear of the pubs because I know, well, my flatmate went to one the other day and she said she had to like give all of her information over because obviously if someone gets infected, then they need to be phoned and stuff. But yeah, I went to a restaurant yesterday and it was weird because on one hand it felt really normal, but on the other hand there was like a plastic sort of screen on either side of me.
Oh, wow.
So that I wasn't too close to anyone. And then all the waiters were wearing these really giant visors as well.
Oh, well, that's, you know, it's kind of...
No, it's good.
Yeah. They've put the thought process in.
Yeah.
I was in a little tiny rural village pub on Saturday.
Super Saturday! Way!
Yeah, Super Saturday. Yeah, I was living it up, you know, in a village hamlet with a population of 15 people. But yeah, no, strange things. So only two people in the bar at any permitted time or whatever the kind of clause was. And there was two people at the bar. And I rocked up with my face mask on.
Yeah.
And the woman shouted at me.
What? Why?
She said, only two people in the bar. I said, okay, that's fine. But like, where do I go to wait to come into the bar? And how do I know that there's no one at the bar?
Well, exactly. You can't exactly, unless it's like fully glass. You kind of have to go in to see.
Yeah. So all these lovely absurdist things. So I just awkwardly shifted around and just stood in the corner with a face mask on.
I'm surprised you can get a face mask on with all that hair you've got.
It doesn't really work. It looks absolutely ridiculous.
More ridiculous. Oh.
Thank you, Blanche.
back to the Lipa and, you know, moving maybe a blended system and stuff. I'm guessing you've not really spoken to that many, well, you've got the current students but you don't know the new students, but have any students like deferred a year or anything like that because of it?
Well, no, I think not what I know of anyway. It seems that we've, quite interesting, you would have thought somewhere that, you know, has like solely relies on face-to-face teaching would have had like a major dropout rate, but not that I've heard of actually, so that's really good. And I think we've recruited like normal this year. We might be like one or two people down.
Okay.
Like, do you know what I mean? But that can happen anyway, irrespective of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's interesting. And then I was also thinking about money side. I wonder if anyone's going to demand some proportion of their money back as well. But I guess that's a student loans company that deals with that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the whole...
Maybe not, actually. Maybe that doesn't make
sense. No. It does. The whole compensation thing's incredibly complex, really. And when we were on strike, people were talking about it then. And I think kind of a legal firm are going to get on this in a short period of time, and it'll be like a PPI, you know, like consumer rights, but for your education.
For sure. I remember the day that stopped those adverts. It wasn't that long ago, you know.
Blanche, I didn't mark that one down in my diary.
Nor did I, clearly, but I do vaguely remember it. So what have you been up to over the last 3 months? Give me the lowdown. I want to know everything.
I feel like I've been on a slow decline. Oh. Really, my
it's supposed to be uplifting, Matty.
My spine is crumbling.
Oh.
No, I feel like since I last spoke to you, my workload just went through the roof. Mm. I don't know if I was saying it to you last time I spoke to you. I was like, yeah, it's great. I'm going out on so many bike rides and mm-hmm. all this stuff. And I did, you know, I was cycling about 200 miles a week.
My goodness.
And then it all just kind of slowly ground to a halt, and yeah, I just took on a bit of extra freelance work and stuff like that, which obviously, you know, the work's always welcome,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you know, but there's no breakup of the day when you work from home, is there?
No.
You know, my back is actually in quite severe pain.
You weren't joking then?
No, it is. It's in real. I have real bad back pain.
Oh my goodness.
Just because of sitting all day and, you know, there's not enough hours in the day to get the work done.
Yeah, because I imagine usually you're quite practical at work, yeah?
Yeah. Can, you know, certainly when teaching, you know what I mean, is that you're up and out, you know, you're probably, mm-hmm. if anything, you're kind of crying out for a bit of time to sit down as opposed to... You know, it's kind of gone the complete opposite, really.
I was going to say, what is it? Like, be careful what you wish for.
Yes, well, that's
so
it.
So do you think it's busier because of lockdown? Or, like, do you think it's always... I thought summer would be quieter for a teacher.
Yeah, well, I think what happened is that the whole time frames are out of sync at present. So, for example, we'd usually finish about June the 3rd, mm-hmm. and then we'd have our module verification the week after, mm-hmm. and then the exam board, you wait ages for that to happen. But we only had module verification this morning.
Right.
So we're about a month behind. So
you get an extra month holiday at the end then.
That's, you know, Blanche for Prime Minister. Blanche for Prime Minister, yeah.
Surely that's right. Surely.
Yeah. No, we've been told that we can take our annual leave. We can take a bit more annual leave into the next working year, apparently.
No. Well, good.
So basically, don't take any annual leave in the immediate.
Yeah.
So you can keep working. So yeah, no, all fun and games, stuff like that. But yeah, no, it's, and obviously the arts sector are trying to respond. So I've been commissioned to write a report about working socially distanced and online and stuff like that. So I'm currently in the process of writing that. So yeah, just a lot of work in that respect. But you know, you can't grumble.
Well, I was going to say, imagine if you're a graduate this year, that must be so hard. I mean, all I'm thinking of is... acting, of course, always thinking of actors. You know, it's hard enough at the best of times, let alone in a pandemic, I'd imagine, to graduate.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we've just got a very good year group who just finished with us, but I've heard from a lot of them, and a lot of them have already found work.
Wow.
Which, yeah, I'm fair play to them. Maybe, mm-hmm. I think they're quite clever in what they, you know, they've opened up, they've diversified a little bit of where they would usually work, and some of them got like youth worker jobs, but are then going to start doing arts practice with young people. So, yeah, it's quite, you know, it's been really positive, actually.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, I'm glad to hear it, because I was just thinking recession, not the best time, but hey, I'm glad some happy news.
Well, yeah, but you know, that's because we're community drama, and you know, we're very responsive, resilient, and we don't need a stage, unlike actors.
I was also going to say, like, stop, you know, going on about how amazing your course is and your teaching. It's like, stop trying to recruit, using my podcast to recruit.
Well, the old litter battle, it'll always be there.
And then how are you kind of finding, obviously you're working, you know, nonstop, but how are you finding lockdown life in general? Has it been positive, negative, in betweeny, or flying, or slow, or yeah, what's it like?
Yeah, no, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, really. I found like some days it's like fantastic, and then some days I just kind of really can't wait to go back to normal, whatever the new normal, as everyone's calling it. So yeah, no, it's just one big kind of roller coaster ride, really. I felt quite fortunate. I travelled down and went and saw my family. Luckily, I had somewhere to stay away from all of them, so it was quite nice that I could go down and still see them socially distanced.
Guessing that was a highlight. Did it feel weird to be socially distanced from them?
Yeah, I didn't give my mum a hug. That was quite strange. No. Didn't give my granddad a hug. You know, just stuff like that, really. And
yeah,
it's bizarre because you start to have quite intense conversations, obviously, during this time as well. Mm-hmm. It's quite emotive, and then you can't actually console anybody because you can't touch anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Like someone's breaking down, and you're like,
I just get my litter picker out and then just pass them a box of tissues at distance. That's it.
What a responsible young man you are. I actually wanted to ask about your 93-year-old granddad. It was a specific question. Are you continuing interviewing him?
Well, we kind of stopped because it was quite strange. He started off fantastic with Skype. And then his technical skills went into decline.
That is unusual. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, he went the opposite way, really. I don't quite know what happened.
Yeah, I remember last time we were saying how amazing he was just for going on Skype.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but I don't know what, I think I probably did mention it in the other podcast, is that I was recording them, and when you record a Skype video, the recording sits in your conversation chat. Mm-hmm. So what he was doing, he's so punctual that he was logging on to Skype about 15 minutes earlier than what we said, and just being curious like he is, would end up clicking on the video from last week and thinking it was live. Aww. So he'd start having a conversation with himself and me from about 2 weeks ago. So yeah, no, we've had to pull that one back.
I'm sorry, I just laughed all the way through that. I really hope the audio is clean because I was just laughing and laughing. Oh, bless. That's really cute, though. But I bet he was really happy to see you. Are you going to try and go home again?
Yeah, I'm going next week.
Oh, nice.
I'm going next week. We've just bought... shall I tell you what isn't fun during lockdown?
Oh, wow.
Is having a breakdown on the motorway. The car broke down.
Oh, I thought you meant like mental breakdown, but I feel like...
No. Yeah, I thought that as well. No, sorry to mislead your listeners. the car broke down on the motorway. About 3 hours away from home, and the AA can't tow you at present because you can't share the cab. So it took what would usually be a 5-hour journey turned into a 10-hour journey.
Oh my. So you're not allowed to go in the car with them. Is that the problem?
Yeah, so then they have to send a separate tow truck, and then they send you a taxi.
Oh wow.
And then you sit in a taxi for 2 or 3 hours to get back to wherever you were going.
Oh my goodness, that's luxury.
Yeah. So we bought a new car and we've converted it into a camper van.
Oh, and is that where you went in your holiday? Well, your wee weekend break?
Yeah, we took it for a bit of a test over the weekend, but no, we just converted it on Sunday. So we're going to kind of disappear at the end of the month and just kind of go wild camp, probably in the Highlands of Scotland.
Oh my goodness, don't you dare take the virus up there, but that sounds lovely.
Yeah, we won't be seeing anybody.
Good, that sounds nice though. Anything. My goodness. And this is maybe a leading question, but I mean, has lockdown kind of changed your perspective of being in Liverpool at all? Like, well, you travelled a lot, haven't you? I was going to say, has lockdown made you want to go to the great outdoors? But you've kind of been like that anyway.
Yeah, no, but it certainly has. I just, you know, where we live's nice, but, you know, the nearest park's about 3 miles away. Mm. So to go out the front door, there's not a lot of options, really. So, yeah, no, to escape will be very much welcomed.
Very nice. And then... the other thing I was going to ask you was when we last spoke, I said, you know, what were you going to be doing in 3 months' time? And you said, well, I'll hope to be at my friend's wedding. One of your best friends, is that right? Does that ring any bells?
Friends.
And did that happen? I'm guessing not.
No. All the weddings got cancelled.
Well, you've actually forgotten about this wedding, so it obviously didn't mean that much to you.
No, I'm just trying to think. We had like 3 weddings booked in.
I think it was a really close friend. Does this ring any bells?
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to... That would have been Jack's in May. But I can't... Yeah. So, yeah, no, it didn't happen. So that's been delayed for 2 years.
Whoa. Why 2 years?
Because the venue's so fully booked that when to rebook, they couldn't rebook for the following year, but had to wait for the year after.
Of course, yeah.
So I think that's why quite a few people now aren't even thinking about rescheduling, but just having a reduced number of people at the venue and just getting it done with.
Yeah, definitely. One of them, Clara, who is going to be actually in the same episode as you, going to speak to her, and she was supposed to get married this month, and she'll talk us through the... I'm kind of plugging another episode, kind of almost, aren't I?
Nah.
But she's going to talk through her plans and things. But I know it's obviously just painful for everyone, isn't it? Emotionally and not good. And then you mentioned new normal earlier. How are you feeling about the new normal? When do you think that'll be?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Everyone, you know, like it's going to arrive next Tuesday. you know, the new normal. Here it comes.
I don't think we'll ever even notice, will we?
It'll just be like slow, gradual changes in a range of different sectors that we kind of engage with. So like educational shift in September, and then like Christmas will probably be different. And then the economy's probably not going to properly crash until next year. So,
oh, don't say that. You know. I thought we were through the worst of it, and I know we're not, but I was hoping.
No, no, no. They've just, you know, the airbags have just gone.
Oh, mate.
You know, we haven't gone into the barrier yet.
Doom and gloom, doom and gloom. Love it.
I'm sorry to say it. I'm sorry.
No, it's probably true.
But out of such, you know, some of the, you know, the Wall Street crash of the 1930s, which was gruesome and all the rest of it, but, you know, it gave birth to some of the greatest artistic and political movements of all time.
Look at this. Nice positive spin there for me. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, you know, thank you, Blanche. I needed it. I needed that cue. Let's say.
Yeah. Stop being such a Debbie Downer, Matty.
I know, I'm sorry.
And then you turn something positive. But no, that is interesting. And then what about personally? I know that you're saying that as a whole, we've got a long way to go and you think it's kind of ridiculous. But I mean, are you feeling anxious, excited, or are you kind of just not even thinking about it?
I think I've just had a bit of a turn over the last week. I was getting kind of frustrated really about, you know, oh, well, what's going to happen? You know, whether it was at work or whatever else I want us to be doing, you know, when's it going to happen? What have I got to wait for and all the rest of it? And why can't I just get on and plan it now? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just kicking back now. You know, I'm just, you know, I'll kick the slippers off. You know, it's kind of, I'm chilling now. It's kind of, I'll cross that bridge when I get there.
Yeah.
That's certainly, which is quite a nice, quite a comforting feeling, really, of just relaxing and just, you know, it's impossible. You know, if I take my teaching, for example, I can't really plan until someone says this is, you know, this is the framework in which you're going to teach.
And even then it might change. So I think it's kind of the time old saying of don't worry about things that you can't control.
Exactly. Exactly. That's been my epiphany the last week.
Good. Well, I'll continue that with myself then, thinking that every morning in the mantra in front of the mirror, be more Matty, be more Matty, something like
that.
Yeah.
Well, I've been saying be more Blanche, be more Blanche. And then each day I've slowly started wearing tartan.
And your accent has really changed.
Yeah, it's dramatically changing. Okay. And I have aspirations to be the voiceover for BBC Scotland.
Oh, yes. I love when you show off about me. Well, make me show off about myself. Yes. What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say that if this does continue or has a second wave, would you be willing for me to interview you again?
Oh, Blanche, of course. Of course.
You're like, no, that's it. You've had your time.
No, Blanche, of course. I'll happily help you along your way.
Yes. Great. Well, it has been a pleasure for this little catch-up. That's for certain. I will maybe, maybe not, speak to you soon.
Yes, Blanche, you take care.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. You're listening to Isolation and Me with Blanche Anderson. And hello, Clara.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm probably well on the very well front. I'm well, but not very well. It's been quite a boring day, actually. I've not done that much.
What is this weather?
Yeah, the weather has been rubbish. I've tried to, well, I went for a walk in the rain, which was actually a little bit depressing when I was listening to Whitney Houston.
Silence.
Yeah, it was quite, I can't remember what it's called. Pathetic Fallacy or something? What's it called?
Pathetic Fallacy, yes. As my GCSE English teacher would have said.
Yeah, so it was like that. But no, apart from that, not too shabby. So I'm going to jump straight in here and, you know, obviously we spoke back in April. And when I asked you where you think you would be in 3 months' time, you said, this is a quote, that you wanted to be in British waters, swimming with your family around you, also having a big old barbecue on the beach. So that was 3 months ago, Clara. Is that accurate?
You know what, Blanche? It's not far off.
That's what I was thinking when, you know, I'd forgotten you'd said it. And then I was thinking, well, yeah, it's not too far off, is it?
Well, I was trying to remember what I'd said and couldn't remember for the life of me. And I assumed that April Clara would have said on holiday somewhere like hot and tropical, which I'm definitely not. But I was obviously in quite a pragmatic mood because I was hoping to be somewhere as nearby as Dorset, which is exactly where I am, down with my family and my fiancé. Now that we're able to stay over at other people's houses again, we made the quick decision to bubble up with my mum, who lives alone. So that happened back in mid-June, and it was one of those really surprise announcements. I think a lot of the announcements that have come out, we've all kind of had an idea because they've been leaked in the press, and we've all been going, oh great, shops are reopening, or oh great, restaurants are reopening. But that one came as a complete surprise to me, at least. So it was really nice to know that we could just keep my mum company, because she had been living alone throughout all of this. Ugh. And like everyone who was living alone throughout a lockdown, was finding it really difficult and isolating, and just really starting to struggle with not being able to do really basic things like go for walks with friends or go for a coffee. So it was amazing to know that we could come down here, keep her company, and also it's where I feel at my most happy, I think, being by the sea, having lovely long English coastal walks to do, and you know, just kind of being able to forget momentarily that you're in the midst of an awful pandemic.
And what a place to be. It's not too far from Croydon, where you usually are, is it?
they're worlds apart. I couldn't think of two more different places to spend a pandemic in. You know, you're going from like a really built up area where the rates of the disease were exceptionally high. I think Croydon Hospital was the second worst hit in the UK.
I love that you know these stats, mate. You're all about the stats.
I am a walking, talking
stat machine.
Stat. Yeah. now I feel really nerdy.
I know, I like it. I like it. It's so true. And then where's Swanage? What number of hospital is that?
I mean, it wasn't even on any scale at all. So they've not been too badly hit in Dorset. And obviously that doesn't mean that it's not very sad when anyone dies from coronavirus, but going from one extreme to the other is quite strange, really, because in Croydon everyone wears a mask. You know, it's really built up, so you feel this kind of quite a bit of fear just walking through town, because you're trying to dodge people and you know, just feel like you really have to have your wits about you. But in Dorset you can so easily forget what's going on, and it can feel like any other summer because the sea's still there, and you know, it's just quite a calm way of life. And so it's been quite weird readapting to somewhere so different and having to kind of almost remember to be sensible, because it's just so easy to
forget,
to relax a bit too much.
Totally. I mean, even now, you know, obviously I'm still in Tottenham, but I find myself forgetting occasionally now that restaurants and stuff are open, because I went for my first meal the other day. I was kind of like, there was a few things that were like, oh, this is a bit weird. But on the whole, I was like, it felt very much like normal. It's very strange.
Yeah.
I've got two questions. One is just, is it really, like, really touristy in Swanage at the moment? And then two is, when did you decide that you were going to stay down there for, like, a longer period? Because I remember when it was the bubble announced, you went down there just for a weekend. But what made you to decide that you're going to, I think you're staying there a whole summer, aren't you?
Well, that's the vague plan, because 2020 has taught me not to plan too much.
Come on to that in a minute.
So to answer your first question, is it touristy down here? It is, more so now that people can go on British holidays, and you know, having beaches to go to. I think when you live somewhere built up and not by the beach, it can just seem amazing that you're able to you know, to visit the sea and go for a swim and just, you know, enjoy one of the few things that you are allowed to do in the midst of a pandemic. And that has definitely intensified now that people are allowed to go on holidays and, you know, travel wherever they want around the UK and further afield. So I know that for some people that's caused a lot of anxiety, especially some of my friends have, you know, just who have been struggling more with anxiety around coronavirus have found it really unsettling seeing the busy roads. And I think we've all seen pictures of packed Bournemouth Beach with 500,000. Here's another stat for you: 500,000 people visited Bournemouth Beach 2 weeks ago.
My goodness.
So it, you know, in some ways it has been a lot. But I think I'm a bit of a maybe a glass half full person, and think, well, I've been really worried about the tourism industry and for small businesses that have been completely out of earnings for 3 months and thinking, you know, it's really important for them to start to be able to make some money again.
Yeah, exactly,
and,
yeah.
And you don't want to be one of those people that just says, this is my beach, this is my lovely seaside town, and it's mm-hmm. not for you out of towners. Like the sort of us and them argument that that I think can be really divisive. So I try where possible to just kind of really think about the plus points, thinking of businesses making more money again, thinking of people who maybe live in cooped up accommodation, being able to have a day at the beach, kids being able to just kind of be kids and just enjoy something normal again, I think is amazing. But obviously, like, not that I work for Bournemouth Tourist Board, although I used to.
I was gonna say.
But it is really important to you know, kind of enjoy those things safely.
Yeah, exactly. That's interesting. Because I thought, well, I was more just, I was thinking, I bet there are some people a bit resentful about it. But I mean, mental health wise, it's taking its toll, isn't it? It's a long time for anyone to be restricted in such a way. So I understand why people are doing it. And I myself are going away? I don't know. I'm going away next weekend to Sussex.
So well, good for you.
So spreading the joy.
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone is entitled to have a day at the beach or to have a weekend with their family or whatever it is that just gives you that feeling of slight normality and yeah, just kind of feeling calm and happy, because it has been such a stressful time for so many people. And I think all I would say is, you know, for anyone that feels really resentful of tourists coming down to our town, and, you know, there's a lot of upset about people not taking rubbish with them, which is obviously awful, and you know, people piling in too quickly, but we have to all share our resources. And just because you live in Dorset doesn't mean that you own the beach, and it doesn't mean that it's just for you. You have to make sure that everyone is having those opportunities to to unwind and de-stress and to just like hang out as a family in a way that you're able to at the moment.
Exactly. So sounds a dream, mate.
Yeah.
I'll be there in a flash, don't you worry. And then back to the bubble question about your mum. Obviously, you know, she was being on her own a bit, but I'm sure it was just as much for you guys as it was for her. But so yeah, what made you decide to stay down there a little bit longer?
Well, so myself and my partner are both working from home at the moment, like I know a lot of people are. And we've been really fortunate that we have just been able to work wherever we want to or need to. So as long as we have a laptop and Wi-Fi, then we can kind of up sticks and move anywhere within reason, I guess. And Dorset was just the really obvious choice for us because it's where both of our parents live. My sister lives down here. We've got friends. We know the area so well. And it was just a bit of a once in a blue moon opportunity to spend a summer back in our hometown as if we were, like, you know, just 18-year-olds living at our parents' house again. And it was really, like, I think the best decision we could have made for this summer, because we'd spent 4 months just completely in each other's pockets in somewhere as built up as Croydon, you know, living under one roof and on the whole finding it fine. But I think a lot of people probably will find that the people that they're living with, no matter how much they like them under normal circumstances, like, nothing tests a relationship quite like a pandemic. Just being able to be down here and have so much open space around us, and there's just so many walks, and just having the beach nearby, and all of those lovely things that really just make my everyday living so much more bearable. It's just, I find it amazing that I can be, like, on a conference call or, you know, stressing out about a piece of work that urgently needs doing, and then an hour later I can just get my swimming gear on, head to the beach with, you know, a couple of friends at a suitable social distance and go for a swim or a paddleboard or do, you know, all of those things. It's it just felt like a bit of a no-brainer, really. And when else are we going to get the opportunity to do it? There's been so few advantages to this whole situation that it felt like, well, let's try and find one of the positives. And yeah, like you say, we get to keep my mum company after having spent months living on her own. And on a selfish note, we get to be in a really beautiful part of the country.
And it is beautiful. And you can tell you used to work in a tourist board here. You've sold it to everyone. It is stunning.
Selling the dream.
It is amazing. But no, you sound really happy. And I think, yeah, like you said, when do you get the opportunity? It's great. So this is a little bit of a broader question. It's always a bit difficult, I guess, but what have you been up to the last 3 months? I mean, I know you've been working a lot, but what have you...
Loads.
Have you been busier than usual, or...?
Oh, God, what have I been up to? I'm trying to think of something that isn't just sitting behind a desk and staring into a screen for 9 hours at a time.
Well, I want to ask you about the wedding in a minute, so we'll leave that out for now. But, just in general, I guess.
I think I've spent a lot of my time doing Zoom quizzes.
You love organising them as well.
Oh, I don't. But so my family started, me and my mum and my sister, we decided to do a Zoom quiz when it felt like a bit of a novel thing to do, because at the time no one else seemed to be doing Zoom quizzes. So we set one up for Saturday night and went, oh, this is great, let's do it every week. And and quite a few people came at first because, you know, there was nothing to do.
I even came and I hate quizzes.
Yeah, you left halfway through, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
You also heckled me the whole time.
I did.
But for others that didn't do that, it was great, like, as something to do at first. But then obviously it just reaches a stage where you think, I can't handle another Zoom quiz for the rest of this decade. Like, Zoom quiz overload.
Yeah.
So we did a hell of a lot of them, and just, I guess, like, trying to find different ways to socialise with people. I think, like, one of the things that I found really impressive during this time is how innovative people have been in organising all number of events. Like, I've been to Zoom hen-dos, Zoom baby showers, Zoom birthday parties, and obviously, like, everyone would love to be under one roof getting drunk in a, you know, bacteria-ridden pub, but the fact that we've been able to even organise something that resembles what that night would have been, I think, is great. And yeah, in some ways I actually feel more connected to people because I just feel like I'm talking to people all the time because we can't meet up.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Even within the working day, you know, the first thing that me and my team do is turn on Microsoft Teams and have a meeting because, you know, it's how we start every day. And in the office, when do we ever really, like, once a week we'll have a meeting, but that's it. So in some ways, I think not, like, taking out the issue of traveling allows you to connect with people much more easily. So
totally.
I don't feel like I've done too badly on the social front, but obviously the other side to it is that I've been sitting here dreaming of rooftop bars and holidays and all the things that I'd love to be doing right now that are a long way away.
Yeah, I'm there with a night out. I can't wait. So you said Zoom hens. What a lovely segue into talking about your hen, which was such a good, like, honestly, it was so fun. I had a great time.
Good.
And then, to obviously the wedding. So last time we spoke, you'd already decided to, you know, postpone it. And I know that you said, obviously, it was, you know, really hard and kind of unimaginable sort of thing. But I know even though you'd postponed it, you were kind of still feeling nervous about the original date and things. So obviously that date's passed now. So do you want to kind of talk about that a little bit for
us?
I know I'm making you relive these horrific memories. I'm sorry.
Just me crying into my laptop. No, it's fine. You're right. It was, I was really, really dreading the day itself. So this was my wedding day that we'd been planning for the last 20 months. And everything was in place. And, you know, it was all kind of, we were just getting to the stage where we were putting in the minor details, like, where was Uncle Bob going to stay and where's Auntie Fanny going to, you know, leave her car? And
can't wait to meet them.
all those minor details. So that was kind of the stage that we were at when we had to make the really difficult decision to postpone it by a year. And all I really felt leading up to that day was pure dread because, you know, it was just the constant reminders of, I had it in my calendar, pick up wedding dress, go for the final dress fittings, you know, pick up wedding rings, all of the sort of final touches. Like, we were meant to be flying to New York on the 26th of June. So all of those kind of travel plans as well, everything that goes alongside a wedding, having to not just not do them, but be faced with the constant reminders of what we were meant to be doing. All of those times, that was what I found the hardest. But, you know, we were just absolutely showered with love and cards and presents and champagne and, like, amazing things from all of our family and friends, including a very special wedding morning sing-along video.
That's from yours truly, guys.
From you. I don't know what else to call it, but it was an amazing present from the lovely Blanche. Aww. In the form of a, what would I even call it, a personalised song.
Yeah, and I know that you said, yeah, that everyone made it really special, so that's lovely. And then I remember you said that on the day itself majority was pretty good, but I know that you had like a wobble at the time and stuff. Yeah,
I think it was inevitable that natural. At some point we'd have a bit of a because you're trying to really make it a fun day, and I put a lot of pressure on myself to try and make it fun and to be like, you know, let's just like laugh in the face of this virus, and we can have, you know, garden parties with up to groups of six because that was what was allowed at the time, and we can, you know, go to the beach and get drunk and like have a great time. But then the reality kicked in at 1:30, which was when we were meant to be getting married, when the ceremony was due to start, and I just had a bit of a oh god kind of moment. And
which is fair enough. I think it would be very surprising if you hadn't, to be
I
honest.
Think, yeah, probably. But it was still lovely, and it was actually good. Even nicer to get it done, because then it meant we can look to the future and think about future plans rather than just being stuck in, you know, the year that wasn't and the plans we were meant to have.
Most of the kind of organising was done, so I guess that means that you've maybe got extra time to enjoy your engagement. I'm not sure.
Maybe, yeah. I think if this year has taught me anything, it's to try and not preempt what plans you've got in the diary, because life obviously sometimes has its own plans. And so we've rescheduled for next year. And I'm really hopeful that it can go ahead next June. But I think, you know, when you're looking at a large scale event with over 100 people, you just have to keep in mind that we don't know what this virus is doing. It's obviously come as a bit of a shock to the system for all of us, and no one could have preempted what this year would be. So I think we'd be foolish not to just have it in the back of our minds that we'll take next year as it comes, and keep a close watch on what happens over the winter with potential second waves and third waves and all the rest of it. So fingers crossed that doesn't end up scuppering our plans for the second time. But if it does, then I'd rather be kind of prepared for it in advance, and at least we don't have the element of shock, which is what we had this year when, you know, this kind of only became at the forefront of our minds in like March. Really, we were pretty late to kind of cotton on to just how huge an effect it would have, and I think a lot of people, myself included, were a bit blasé and a bit like, well, it'll probably be fine, we'll see what happens, and how wrong we were.
To be fair, on the news and stuff, we were kind of, and the media and stuff, we were kind of sold that a little bit as well. So it wasn't us just being arrogant, hopefully. I'm not sure. But obviously it does remind you, things aren't in your control and things, you know, with lockdown. So has lockdown changed your perception or your attitude towards anything else?
I think it definitely has, just more along those lines of I'm a planner by default, you know, my job is to plan things, and it feeds into my day-to-day as well. It's something that my fiance finds incredibly irritating, that I need to have a plan, and I'm always kind of thinking about the next steps and what will follow the next steps and then what will follow that. And you can't always live like that, especially this year. It's been a prime example of just trying to roll with the punches and live in the moment. And I'm not for one second going to proclaim that I'm now an expert and I'm just like, you know, strolling around in my hippie clothes doing peace signs and just feeling completely zen. But I think, it has been a really big lesson to me to just try and live in the moment a little bit more and not plan so much, maybe. We'll see. Ask me again in a year.
There's positives to both, isn't there? And it's nice to have a sense of control and things, but then at the same time, you never know, I guess, not really, it's more to do with myself, I guess, but you never know what you're missing by planning ahead. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, very true.
So if you were to give a number for lockdown, scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it? A rating?
Oh, God, that's difficult. I mean, for myself or for what it's been?
No, just for you. We're selfish here. Just for you.
Just for me. I would give it a 4, I think, because I can't deny I've not really enjoyed it. Like, I think it's made me quite anxious in some ways. It's been really stressful and upsetting to see just how many lives it's come and absolutely knocked its way through. So even though I can't claim that I've, you know, been personally hugely impacted by coronavirus in the way that some people have. Obviously, just knowing how many people are affected by it is really like upsetting, and has definitely weighed very heavily on me. I think this whole year has felt very heavy. It's been quite joyless in a lot of ways, and so sometimes I think you can kind of feel like, well, there's always someone worse off than me. And yeah, that's probably true, there is always someone worse off, but it doesn't mean that you're not also struggling and that your anxieties aren't also valid. And yeah, I mean, to this year was meant to be a 10, you know, it was meant to be like wedding, honeymoon, like big travel plans, and we were meant to be spending a month going off traveling and all sorts of great things. And I think, as everyone does at the start of a new year, they go, "Woo, 2020, this is going to be my year." And we were all pretty wrong. So I can't say that I'd be down there with the like the ones and twos, because I generally have been well. I feel like I am really fortunate that I've been able to stay at home and work from home, because a lot of people I know have been out on the front line. But it also, you know, it doesn't mean that you're having a breeze just because you're not finding it as hard as some people.
And I think that actually just broke my heart there when you said this year was supposed to be a 10. There was something about that. I was just like, oh my goodness. Well, next year will be an 11.
Fingers crossed.
Don't you worry. I'll make sure it happens.
Oh, you'll make sure.
No matter what. I'll write you more songs, mate. That's what I'll do.
I mean, that definitely made it rise from a 3 to a 4.
Yes. There we go. Happy to help, mate. So for the final question, normal life, new normal, whatever you want to call it, how are you feeling about going back to that?
I think, like new normal is a phrase that has been banded around a lot, and I think it's very true that we can't expect for things to bounce back, and they probably shouldn't bounce back. And I think like some people feel like everything's bouncing back too quickly, and then some people want it to come more quickly. So I think it's just given me a really big awareness of how differently everyone has coped with this situation, and how much that needs to be taken into account. Because, you know, I've got some friends that are just really kind of caution to the wind and like, oh, I've probably had it, and if not, I'm not at risk, and you know, I don't need to worry about it, which I completely respect, because, you know, that's how they deal with it, and that's absolutely fine. But, you know, it's the friends that say, I'm just so worried. I'm worried, not about catching it necessarily, but worried about killing other people, and thinking, what if I'm the one that infects Nana and then she, you know, doesn't make it through or whatever, which, you know, is also a really valid way to think. So I guess I'm feeling hopeful for what's to come after this, but also with a strong awareness that I might be in a different place to other people, and that just because we're allowed to go into pubs and allowed to go to restaurants, it doesn't mean that all of your mates are going to suddenly feel fine about doing it. So I think it sounds really corny, but I've also like got a newfound kind of need to try and look out for all of the people in my life, because, you know, I think mental health has been even more prominent off the back of this. And I just think, it's so much more important now than ever. Just to give people a ring and check on people, and not put pressure on people to go to pubs if they're not ready, and just for us all to kind of get each other through it, really, in whatever way that is.
Yeah, totally. And it's not corny at all, and I'm glad that I'm part of that crew. It is good. Well, that is perfect. Thank you very much for speaking to me again. I know you're a woman in demand, so thank you.
You're welcome.
I've been saying this to other people, that if this continues a little bit longer, I'd love to catch up again one time, just to see the changes and things. But it was a pleasure as always speaking now, Clara. Oh, thank you very much.
It was lovely speaking to you. Thank you for having me. I feel very honoured.
I'll speak to you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thanks for listening to Isolation and Me. Don't forget to subscribe and share, but also please, please give us a rating or review, as it helps other people to find the podcast. Thanks again, and stay safe.